everyone. You're listening to Operation Dichotomy. I'm Paul. I'm your host, and we are the bridge between perception and reality. Our goal here is to create a society of greater understanding and empathy. We want people to be slower to speak and more eager to listen so they can hear the other perspective that's different from theirs, gain more understanding and empathy, like we said. And we think that even with just that small shift in the way that we interact with people, we're going to solve a lot of the problems that we see in the world around us today. So if that sounds like something that you can get behind, go ahead and connect with us at operationdichotomy.com. Or at Operation Dichotomy on Instagram. That's where we do most of our stuff. You'll be the most up to date with whatever we're doing. And last but certainly not least, if you found any value in these podcasts, in the interview that we're about to have today with this man who I will introduce in a bit, or even our content in general, please go ahead and share it. Leave us a positive review as that helps us to get our content out. If it helped you, hopefully it'll help somebody else too. So let's do this together. Now on to today's guest. He's a friend of mine. Let's start with that. He's a good friend of mine. His name is Alonzo Easter. He is an international man of mystery. Actually, he's an international model, but whatever. Same thing, right? he's a personal trainer. He is an actor. He has a lot of different things. But one of the things that I wanted to point out about this young man is that he is a young guy. He's still in his mid-20s. But he's been through a lot, and he's overcome a lot to get to where he's at today. And that's kind of what we wanted to talk about because, well, let's stop right there with the introduction, and then we'll get into the conversation. Alonzo, sorry for butchering your introduction a little bit, but welcome to the show, man.
It's solid, and thank you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, fam.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I feel like people these days, they assume a lot of different things about young African-American men. Let's just put it out there. Because there are a lot of ignorant people in the world. And I know there's a lot of not ignorant people in the world too. But for those that don't really know what to think, right? They look at a young African-American man who's grown up in hardship and the quote unquote ghettos. And they assume a lot of different things about them, whether they realize it or not. So I want to just get a deeper inside perspective into who you are and your life and how you got to where you're at. So Alonzo, man, let's start from the beginning, dude. Like, where did you grow up? How did you grow up? Tell us about your upbringing from 0 to 5 years old, and then we'll go from there.
Thank you for the intro. It's a pleasure, like I said before. I came from, I like to call it the mud. Came from, born and raised in Stockton, California, partly in LA too. I came from hand-me-downs, so everything around me, it was either worked for or it was a hand-me-down. I was fortunate enough to have, I don't know how moms did it, but she always made sure to have a warm, ready meal in front of us. But came from nothing, seeing friends die around me. One thing I had to look forward for was sports. Mm-hmm. That was really my ticket and my way out. And that kind of helped get me to where I am today, especially with the coaching I had around me, helped keep my mind intact, helped me look forward to something, good distraction from what was going on around me. So, mm-hmm. It was just, I don't know. I see my best friend rob me at 13, like grew up with him, like after school, coming in day out, 2K, all that. Robbed me and my mom stuff.
Wait, 2K, like NBA 2K?
Yeah, NBA 2K. Oh, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Wait, tell, what happened? How did, what do you mean he robbed you?
Oh, he robbed me, like, so.
I mean, I know what that means, but tell us the story behind that.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, we would come, like, every day after school, you go over, play basketball outside, play NBA 2K, whatever it may be. Best friend vibes. But it was my brother's graduation that day, and he's been plotting, I guess, all along. And when we went to that graduation, he made his move, took everything. I'm telling you, like, Xbox, TV was on the ground, broken. Jewelry, all kinds of stuff was gone. Mom's jewelry, like all that. And you know what's funny though? Huh. One thing he did take was my alarm clock, which I will never understand, but I mean, perspective, I don't know, maybe he needed it. Nah. But yeah, like got home, it was mud prints in the shower. And yeah, just my heart was empty, you know, messed up in the head. Even more messed up though, when I figured out it was him. So how I figured out it was him was, he sent me a text when I got home, saying, "Are you okay?" Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Okay, how, why are you asking this? How do you even know?" Well, we didn't talk the whole day. That whole day we weren't talking. And then when I got home, "Are you okay?" So that's a red flag. I'm like, "Okay, what's, how you know I'm going through something?" Whatever. Anyway, I just scratched it. But yeah, it turns out his mom said, "I think your stuff is over here. There's no way he bought this much stuff," and blah, blah.
No, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. So we figured out it was him. We went toes after that, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
it was not cool. But yeah, best friend robbed me.
Oh, man. When you said that people and friends were dying around you, why?
I mean, I was not in the best neighborhood. Townhomes, I don't know if you heard of townhomes in Stockton, by Beyond, like West Lane over there, Kentwood, G Block, all that. So it's, I don't know, it's a lot of gang activity where I grew up. Been in a lot of fights, but I never pushed the issue. It was either, it was them testing me. So it was a lot of negative influence around me, mm-hmm. besides the household I was in. You know, I had good morals and everything, but when it comes to my environment, it's natural selection. I don't know. It's just what it was, you know. Drugs, guns, all that.
So a lot of gang violence took your friends. Tell us about your family a little bit, because you said that beyond that family bubble, the environment was kind of crazy. What was it like within your actual home?
You know, it was actually dope. Like, even though, you know, I would, you know, go to school and be like, "Man, those J's look nice. Must be cool and everything." But it didn't matter, because moms, and when I did see pops, they kept it in a peaceful environment and made sure that we stayed together as a unit. So through my two half-brothers, my mom made sure to keep us all together and not to focus on what's going on outside, but to focus on what's inside. So home cooked meals, good morals, treat somebody how you want to be treated, just great morals. It was nice. It was always a lovely feeling. I never felt like at any point that this was not home. No matter where we were, I never felt like this was not home. I always felt, you know, thankful to be in the house I was in, even though I didn't have everything. I had everything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like through the hardship of the environment, it was really your mom, I want to say, and even your family environment that kind of grounded you and kept you going down the road that you're going on now. Is that kind of fair to say?
Oh, yeah, for surely.
Okay.
For so when surely.
When you were in middle school, high school, around that time, what did you see your future as? Like, I know you were in Stockton and you see people dying around you, and, you know, it's like you kind of grew up in the stereotypical ghetto, right? Where people are always just fighting each other. You got robbed by your best friend. What were you thinking about in terms of, oh, what's next? What's my next steps? Where am I going to be?
I think every kid's dream was to be a professional basketball player, a football player, something in that sport nature. I wanted to be a professional basketball player, but unfortunately, through the system I was in, coach didn't see more in what I had until I was gone. So, I wanted to be a professional basketball player, and the person I am, I always adapt. So I'm like, okay, how can I make it out? How could I, you know, still find a way out of this situation? I don't want to be stuck here forever. my natural talent was track and field. And I figured that out through my dad whispering in my ear. Like whenever we would, you know, meet up and everything like that, he would tell me, hey, if you want it, it's there. I did it, you can do it, kind of in the sense. So I went for it. And right off the bat, senior, like started sophomore year, that was the peak of my time. That's when they moved me to varsity and stayed varsity all the way until senior year. Broke a record in the 110 hurdles and in the 300 hurdles. And I was also in the 4x4 and the 100. I was going crazy. That was really my identity of high school, was track. So that helped me, you know, get scholarships, letters, and all that. But I ended up going to San Joaquin Delta College just because I would save money. I'm all about financial stability. So San Joaquin Delta College, did my 2 years, got my AA degree, and then got a scholarship from there to CSU Stanislaus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're going the athlete route at the time.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. So obviously there is a certain level of talent that you had when it came to athleticism. So there is a talent side, but then I also believe that you got to where you were at because of the hard work that you put into it.
Woo.
Where did you learn the work ethic? Right, people generally aren't just born working out of mom's womb, from what I can understand. Right, you pick it up somewhere. Where do you think you learned that work ethic? Because I can see it now too.
Man, I appreciate that. But I would say it all came from, I would say, basketball. So Kobe Bryant, man, rest in peace, man. Yeah, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and Ray Lewis. Just hearing their minds, I don't know. I always had a thing of watching them. It was like a daily routine almost. I would come home, you know, do my homework, whatever, and then put it on YouTube of them just talking or seeing their eyes while, you know, in the game. Mm-hmm. And that helped shift my mind as far as what I wanted to put my effort into. And yeah, that Mamba mentality. I think it was Kobe, honestly. I grew up just Kobe, Lakers. Man, so unfortunate to see him go, Gigi and all that. But and the others on the plane too. But yeah, Kobe's mentality got me there. He helped install that beast mentality.
What about your mom? Tell me about your mom.
I was going to say that too.
I feel like it's got to come from more than Kobe.
Yeah. Hey, yep, I was going to say that too. So mom, she said, one thing she said is, doesn't matter what you do, I will support you. But I want you to give your all. And now it's something as simple as that stuck with me. She's like, man, I got somebody that's going to stick with me through thick and thin. But I got to give it my all, though. She doesn't want she doesn't want me being anything less than what I am. You know, she's always trying to push me. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, but yeah, mom too. Mom and Kobe.
When you see your mom, do you see an example of someone that lives what she preaches? Like, she works hard herself as well.
Woo! And that's, there you go too. Thank you for bringing that up, because single mom growing up, full-time job her whole life. I'm telling you, I don't know how she put up with her. I don't know. Okay, yeah. Single, hey, I'm telling you, always food on the table. Okay, moms, full-time job, worked at a newsstand. Then she, like as a reporter and all that. Then she went to human resources. But yeah, full-time job. She barely made ends meet. She was set. Savings wasn't that great. So I don't know, it was just seeing her put up with my situation as well as her doing that eight hour thing on a daily day basis, while being supportive, losing sleep, battling with things we were going through at the time, you know, friends and family betraying us and lying, and we didn't really have a strong circle, but we did have it in our house. So just seeing her grind on a daily basis helped install that into me too. Doing what she got to do to survive.
Yeah. I would argue that that's probably the most impactful part. Like, yep. You know how some parents, they always say stuff like, wait, what did they say? Do what I say, don't do what I do. And they tell that to their kids, but that doesn't happen, right? Kids do what they see their parents doing. They don't give a crap about what they say.
Yep.
Well, maybe later, but not when they're growing up. So I feel like seeing your mom just working day in and day out to feed you guys. And I think the most important and probably the most incredible part of that is that while she was providing for your basic needs, she was also able to create that culture of good morals, like you said, right? Good ethic, good work ethic. You know, my kid right now, she's about four and a half months.
Congrats.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I am not a single parent, right? Yeah. There's two of us. She's one kid. She's not even that crazy yet. She can't run around, cause trouble. And it's still hard. And so the fact that, you know, one thing that I'm kind of all over the place, but one thing that my wife and I kept saying for the first 2 months of my baby's life is, man, I have freaking single parents, dude, and single moms, especially because biologically they gave birth to this child. Then you got to talk about feeding her, right? Or him or her with your body, right? You're breastfeeding, you're pumping, whatever. You cannot sleep. You cannot, your body is not your own. It's like, and on top of that, you got to raise a kid and take care of this kid. How the heck does that happen? And
the way she balanced all that, it still blows me away. Like, I'm telling you, I would hear her saying, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I remember her saying, like, I only got a couple hours of sleep. Don't worry about me, though. You got to go to school, do this and that. Like, she would always, like, mush it, kind of, in a sense. Like, she'll never, like, complain. I rarely heard her complain about what she was doing. Mm-hmm. It was just like, boom, okay, full-time job, got to drop you off of school. What time are you going to be out of school? Boom, I'll be there. Boom, day in, day out, just grinding, making sure I'm okay. Cooking, like, no sleep, taking care of me, dealing with my issues, dealing with issues at her job, providing that plate, that food every day. My mom's a chef too, by the way. Like, it ain't no average food.
I believe it.
And even if it's average food, like, if it's cheap that day or whatever, it didn't taste cheap. You know, so that, man, and then making sure to be like me at practice and the game supporting, and never once, I don't remember her ever complaining. I really don't. She's just been a super mom.
Yeah.
And I appreciate her for that. And Pops, he did have to, he did have to, you know, cop some dollars down, but, his world was hectic too, but mom's really helped. It's crazy. It's crazy what she did.
I think before we kind of get into where you're at now, I feel like what I'm learning right now, even just talking to you, is that no matter how crazy your environment is, like when I moved out here, the guy who painted some of the rooms in our house was telling me about Stockton, like this one street on Stockton. I forget what it was called, but he was like, don't go there. Daytime, nighttime, don't matter. But, all right. And so you kind of get an idea of the environment that you grew up in, right? And you described it as, you know, you've experienced your friends dying to gang violence. You experienced getting robbed by your best friend. Although it's kind of funny that his mom kind of ratted him out.
Man, hey, I'm glad she did. Nah. Yeah.
But I think
she's
that's
like, you're gonna learn.
that's kind of my point, though, is that no matter how bad it is in that environment, how great of a blessing it is that you had that one parent who kind of held down the fort at home and made sure that that environment never made it into the home. And I mean, you know better than I do, but without that, you know, where would you be, right? Where could you be? And
man,
shoot. So shout out to Mama Easter, or I don't know what her last name is, but
Harris. Yeah.
There you go. Cooking. Mama Harris.
She's cooking with Joyce on Instagram.
Cooking with Joyce. Okay. There you
cooking
go.
Cooking with Joyce.
Cooking with Joyce. J-O-Y-C-E.
J-O-Y. Yep. C-E.
I'm going to look her up later.
Okay.
Shameless plug. Dude, thank you for sharing all that. But let's get into where you're at today. Cause obviously, you went to school for track and field, right? And now you're not in track and field.
Yeah.
So you're an international model. How did that come about?
Man, so I got stories on stories, but let me like sum it down. Like during track, I was in a toxic relationship at the time.
Mm-hmm.
At CSU Stan. My car broke down. The transmission went out. I had a job. I was going to school, like school, work, practice every day while dealing with a toxic relationship and trying to get a new car. So while that was going down, I'm like, okay, this is not healthy for anybody. I got to make some changes or it's going to change me. Relationship broke off. Got a new car. That car was trash. I got a new roommate. but the one thing he did for me was open my mind. Because before all this, it was graduate college, internship, be a physical therapist. Boom, that was it. Physical therapist, get a family, die. That was my life. But what he installed in me was, is that what you want to do? Like, is in the he would never tell me what to do. He would just always ask me questions. Just, okay, what if this? Okay, boom, why are you doing this at this and this and that? But yeah, even though he was so, I don't like talking bad about anybody, but it was a dark moment.
Yeah.
He was still an angel because of what he unlocked in my head. He helped see me further into what I was seeing. He's like, he knew that that wasn't really my passion. He knew it was a side passion to help line up what I want, you know? So yeah, he just helped open my mind about entertainment. YouTube channel, that's where I started. Yeah, and he got me to see that entertainment is what I want to do. So when I figured out that's what I wanted to do, I'm like, okay, how can I grow fast and efficiently? I'm not trying to be that guy that makes it in 20 years. I want to make it in 5, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, been doing the YouTube. I was doing it Monday through Friday, in and out, in and out. And I was like, you know, this is cool and all, but I love – one thing I do miss is during track basketball and football, is that crowd. I loved hearing the crowd cheer or get excited for what I'm about to do, you know?
Mm.
So I'm like, how can I get that feeling through entertainment? Because YouTube, you just posting videos and reading comments. You know, it's cool and all, but it's not the same. So I was like, I mean, I do like to look good. So I was like, let me try modeling. So I was reaching out to photographers, designers, coordinators, everybody in the industry that's involved with modeling.
Yeah.
And a designer hit me up, Novella. He's like, do you want to be in this show? I was like, oh, cool. And it was with Mario B Productions that time too. Went in that show and I loved the feeling. Like the before you walk in, it's like, it's just like football. You know, the tunnel you walk through?
Mm-hmm.
The crowd's like, ah, and it's all silent. And then they get crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just like, I walked through that tunnel and I'll never forget it. Like the camera's flashing. People like, ooh, and you know what I'm saying? All that. And then, yeah, it stuck with me. And I was like, I need to make this into a dream. I don't know, a passion. I need to make this a powerhouse. So ever since then, I said, every event I go to, I'm going to grab 10 connects. And those 10 connects led to where I'm at now.
Yeah,
just connecting genuinely, though. Not like 10. So if it happens to be like 5 or 6 connects that I got, they were genuine connections. Like, I was chopping it up with them, grabbing connects, and they were like, well, how could we collab in a certain way? You know, all that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, do that day in and day out, and now I don't really have to grind. But the type of person I am, I always grind, regardless of my situation. I could be a millionaire. I'm still going to have the same grind. So, yeah.
It's interesting. I never heard, well, to be honest, I haven't had a lot of conversations about modeling, so there's no reason why I would hear it, but it's an interesting comparison that you make to football, where you go into the tunnel, just waiting to get in front of the crowd and play for the people.
Man.
But that makes sense, right? As an entertainer, it's not just about, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not just about you performing. It's about the response that you get from the people that you're entertaining.
Ooh, right? That is so, yes. Yeah.
And I guess even modeling is, yeah, you want to look good. And it's good to, I mean, yeah, you have to look at the whole point of being a model, right? Whatever you're modeling, you're giving that positive vibe to the people. But that too, right? It depends on the response of the people. So yeah, by being a model, you're really kind of entertaining and you are provoking the emotions of the people. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah. Oh,
very, very interesting.
I love the crowd, man. It's so dope. No other feeling gets my heart racing like that. It's so dope. It's so dope.
So I know some of your modeling is live like that in shows. But you know, you work with us for a little bit just as a quote unquote collab, and it was fun.
Oh, and yeah, that was dope.
We got some cool pictures. We got Diego is very, very good at him. He's good at what he does. Shout out to Diego Garcia Visuals over in Modesto. If you need some work done, reach out to that guy.
Yeah.
But if you have still shots like that as a model, how, I'm trying to connect this entertainment aspect from a, here's a picture of me in my element, right? But you don't really get the live response of the people that are responding to your modeling. I guess my question is, actually, I'm not even quite sure what my question is. I guess it's just different. Because when you're live, no, you get the response, that drives you. But a picture doesn't have that. So what drives you there?
Seeing, like, when they see me in person, that is that buildup. I love it's the same thing, but not the same thing. It's a different energy. It's a buildup. So when they see me, it's like, okay, model, I see you. You did this.
Like, I see.
You know, yeah. Or they'll see me in the street. Alizon, I love when you, when they see my work and they admire it, and, you know, I don't know, it helps motivate them or whatever it does for them. But when they tell me that in person, and I see it, that it's coming straight from their heart, oh, man, that's more than anybody could ask for.
When I think of modeling, I also think, because you called it work, right? So it kind of makes me think of you as an artist in a sense, where, you know, obviously there's you, but then there's also how you connect with whatever product or whatever you're modeling. Is that kind of true, or is that off base?
Oh, you have to.
Okay.
You have to connect. Whatever you're rocking, you gotta bring that to life. Same with acting. Whatever character you got in that moment, whoever you are that day or what you were before, that's all out the window. It's not about you in that moment. You got to bring whatever it is in front of you to life.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, and I think we covered this a little bit already, but how much of modeling is you being in your element by yourself, feeling good about what you do? And then how much of it is more driven by the response of the people. Is that the majority of what drives you, you as specifically?
What drives me is leveling up my level of significance. Mm-hmm. So modeling, acting, personal training, all that is to get my foot in the door. So when I'm at the level of significance I want to be at, that's when my brain could really unleash. I'm talking about opening, you know, vitamin supplements, having my own gym, investing in water, investing in real estate, and then touching hearts of people that have similar situations that I had. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to, you know, find some random guy that has over, you know, a 3.0 GPA. He has a messed up situation at home, but he's not showing it. And he's still going to class, going to sports, doing what he's doing. And I want to, like, give him 5 G's just because. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? 5 G's, get him on the right track, and let him know that he has someone beside him, all the way to where he needs to be. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do stuff like that. And then, like, you know, of course, people on the street give him $100 or I've always significance, you know, like a street name, a scholarship, a book. I don't care what it is. I'm trying to tap into every possible thing I can, mm-hmm. to leave my mark. I don't want to be another man that just lived and died.
Hmm. Sounds like you want to give back.
Yeah.
And then to give back, you want to get to a point where you have enough and you have a large amount of quote unquote stuff to be able to give back.
Mm-hmm. Also.
Yeah, go ahead.
My bad.
No.
I also want to spread love too. Like, I want people to look up to me. I want to be a great influence to the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you feel like you had that growing up besides your mom?
Nope. See, it's so what was in my head growing up was being a star, an athlete, a star. I wanted people to cheer for me. And I still do. That's still a part of me. I do love the recognition. I love the, the support. I love that random love. I love, mm-hmm. that. And the stardom, I do enjoy that, but that's not the main drive, you know. Significance is my drive.
Mm. Mm-hmm. When you said that the acting, the modeling, all that stuff is to be able to gain a level of significance.
Mm-hmm.
Define what that means. You kind of gave examples like a street name or whatever, but what is significance to you when you say it that way?
When I'm in mention with, you know, people like Will Smith, boom, that's a perfect example. He's always shifting minds, enhancing minds. With entertainment, though, too, he does it in every aspect. That's a guy I could say I want to be similar to, not exactly like, but similar, mm-hmm. to. But Ray Lewis, you know, Steve Harvey. Eric Thomas.
Eric Thomas.
Yeah.
Hip hop preacher.
Hey, that boy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Eric Thomas. That boy is woke and he knows how to grab. Oh, goodness.
And just to be clear, we're talking about Ray Lewis, Ravens, Ray Lewis.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. His mind is incredible, dude.
Yes.
He helped install that beast mentality into me, too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but just, what was the question again?
No, I think you answered it. It was, when do you know that you've become this level of significance that you want to be? And it sounds like when you become a household name, like you say Ray Lewis, I know exactly which Ray Lewis you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Will Smith. If I ever meet somebody who's like, who's Will Smith? Like, dude, how old are you? I'm like 4. Like, then maybe. But everybody knows who Will Smith is, you know?
Everybody.
Okay. So once you get to that point where, hey, what's your address? I live on 955 Alazan Street. Okay. Okay. That's significant right there, right?
Yeah, that's significant.
Got it.
Yeah.
What drives you to get there and get to that point is that once you get to that point, you're able to leverage that to be able to give back and almost become this big brother mentor figure to people that need it but didn't have it in the same way that you didn't have it. But lucky for you, at least you had your mom. Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool to see how the way that you grew up and basically the path that your life is taking now is really shaping what you want to do for the future. But what's inspiring is that what you want in the future is not just this big name for yourself to prove to the world that, hey, I made it. It's to be able to, it's a stepping stone to be able to give back in a way that you might not be able to give if you hadn't gotten there.
Boom.
So it's cool, man. Inspiring.
Man, thank you, man. That's the goal. Like I want to be like, as well known, I want to be here like Martin Luther King, but that you got to die for that. You got to like, you got to be a, what's it called? You got to have a movement that's, you know, trying to change things in the world that you shouldn't be trying to dig into. But I mean, but I,
hey,
yeah,
you
I
never know,
be like
man.
Him, but not like him.
You never know. You never know what'll happen in 10 years, dude. What you'll have to stand up for. Never know, you know?
That's very true.
So don't be surprised, dude. Hopefully you won't get shot for it, but
man,
you never know, right?
That's what I'm talking about. See, I just wanna give love. I ain't trying to, you know, be all up in the grime. I might throw my little cues in here and there, but as far as releasing things the world is not ready for, and they know, and they told me that not to do it, and threatening in a sense like that, I'm gonna just let it be. But I do want to, you know, I want to create a supporting system for the world, showing people that it's possible, and you have somebody by your side.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful. Alonzo, where can our audience connect with you if they are so inclined to see who this guy is, what he's about, where he's going? Where's a great place for them to reach you?
You can find me on Instagram at ALAZON _. It's like Amazon, but with the L, Alazon.
Is that where it came from?
No. So that was growing up too. My, one of my number one, my day ones, his auntie, she's just clever as heck. She's clever as heck. And she was like, she just throws random names at me and stuff like that. And one day she was like, Alazon. And I was like, what? And it kind of stuck. And then everybody around me knew me as Alazon. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Interrupted. So that's at Alazon _. And then what was the other one you're about to say?
Twitter, same thing, Alazon _. Snapchat is Alonzo 2003. Facebook, YouTube, all Alazon.
Alazon. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alonzo, last question for you. Earlier, I had asked you about the division that we see in this world.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, we could talk about political climate. We could talk about racism. Like this is the first time I've lived through any period of Asian racism, to be honest, like because of the whole coronavirus situation. And like
crazy,
it was weird, dude. Like the other day I went to a grocery store and I'm not gonna pretend to understand that that I know what it's like to be an African American in the United States. All right, like don't take it that way,
but it's similar.
Yeah, I guess in a sense. But the first time ever, I went to a grocery store and I was looking around at, these white people looking at me. And I was like, shoot, am I safe? And it was weird, man. Like, why am I talking about this? Okay. Sorry. Division, right? We have this division in this world. Part of it is due to stuff like that, where you have assumptions about a particular group of people that's completely incorrect. And we had talked a little bit about practical solutions on how you think we can address some of those in our daily lives. What would you tell people to do and to keep in mind as we are working towards a more united society?
Oh, man, it's people, I don't know, people like to complicate things and they think it's hard because there's billions of people. But this is how I see it. If each person were to do a small gesture as, you know, like smiling, opening a door for somebody, waving hey to somebody across the street, picking up somebody's pencil on the floor. You know, those simple gestures, you do those on a day-to-day basis, I feel like our world would be a much better place. It doesn't matter what it is, just the smallest things. Pick up a phone of someone random you never talked to in a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. Little things like that. That would definitely enhance equality.
Hmm. There we diversity, go.
All that.
It's the little things, guys. It's not the big stuff that we have to work on all the time. And I think Alonzo brings up a great point where we don't have to wait for huge political outbursts for people to go crazy. We don't have to wait for, you know, racist movements like this for you to be able to step up and create new friends or to say hello. In fact, it's probably the small things that he's talking about, the little things that we do every day that prevents us as a society from getting to that explosive point, right?
Boom.
And I mean, there you go. The little things, smile, open the door, practice common courtesy, say hello. It's somewhere as a society, we lost sight of these things, but if we can go back to it, shoot, maybe we can fix some problems, huh?
For surely. And you never know too with a smile, like people, I don't know. I'm big on perspectives too.
Yeah.
People, you know, they could have lost their job. They could have lost someone dear to them. They could have, you know, anything they could have lost, anything that was detrimental to them. That smile could help be the stepping stone to a great day for them.
It's true.
You know?
That's true. It may be little for you, but it could be huge for them, right?
Boom.
Yeah.
Let's go. Yep.
Especially if that the smile comes from a model, you know, it means a little bit more. So there you go. Awesome, man. Thank you, Alonzo, for your time. Thank you for sharing your life with us, man. And it's inspiring to see where you came from to where you're at. And I think it's more inspiring. And I look forward to where you're going to be in 5, 10, 20 years, dude. I don't know if I'll ever live on your street, but somebody probably will. And when I see it, dude, I'll tell them I heard about it in April 2020.
Let's go.
All right, everyone. I hope you guys got something out of that conversation we had with Alonzo. Remember to connect with him at @Alizon_ like Amazon, except with an L for those of you who are confused. But I will put that in the show notes as well. Alonzo, thanks again, man, for being here with us. For everyone else, until next time.